Matthew 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your
unbelief.
For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a
mustard seed,
you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And say it with me, nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. That's a startling statement. And the reason why I wanted to give you this little faith as a mustard seed card is because I want you to see, we had to put four or five of them in there. But look at one. Jesus said, if you have faith that size, that's all you need. And I want to say this morning because we have this misnomer about faith, that we have to be these spiritual giants in order for God to do anything for us. I don't know about you, but one of them mustard seeds, if I have faith as that size, I would consider myself being a peon in the kingdom. But Jesus said, if you have that much, you can talk to a mountain and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. So I'm like encouraged this morning. I don't have to have a grapefruit size faith, just mustard seed size faith. So I wanted you to put this in your Bible and think about it, refer to it, and know that if you have faith this size, you are able to do some tremendous things. Now, the realm of possibility, though, passes through the understanding of faith as a mustard seed. So if you want to get to possibility, then you have to have the understanding of the mustard seed faith. So I wanted to talk about that this morning because we are on a season where we must begin to operate in greater faith. You know, I'm a little concerned about our foreign policy. Just a little bit. I'm like pro-Israel. I just want to let you know that. If y'all have problems with that, that's okay. But listen, I am pro-Israel. And there is a move in the evangelical circle of anti-Israel sentiments. Did you know that? They preach and teach that God is finished with Israel, and the church now is the new Israel. Now, they're close, but they're off. You know, they're really close. It's sort of like being off key, pitchy. Let me know what I'm talking about. You could be close, but you're still off. And the truth of the matter is, we need faith in this last day. We need lots of faith. And we need to begin understanding what it is to plant seed faith in our circumstances. Matthew 13 and verse 32 says this about the mustard seed. It says that it is the least of all the seeds. Isn't that amazing? It's the least of all the seeds. But when it's grown, say that with me, when it's grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. This blows my mind. It says, it's the least of the seeds, but when it grows, it is and becomes greater than anything in comparison to it. So you don't have to have a lot to get started. All you and I need to do is grow our faith. And when we begin to grow our faith, it'll become greater than any opposition that we'll ever experience. So how do you grow your faith? How do you grow muscle? Well, resistance. You know, everybody here has muscle within your body. Some, it's a little more difficult to find than others. But even small faith, and I want you to write this down, even small faith can do great things if it's real faith. Let me say it again. Even small faith, mustard seed faith, can do great things if it's real faith. Now, let me tell you the difference between a mustard seed and a grain of sand. Approximately the same size. Approximately the same shape, might even be the same color. But there's a difference that is unique to the seed that the sand could never possess. It's called life within the seed. And so real faith is likened to a real seed. False faith is likened to a grain of sand. The grain of sand has no life in it, no matter how much you put it in the ground and water it, speak over it, declare with it. It's not going to grow because there's no life in the seed. You follow me?
Amen.
So as a believer, we want to make certain that our seed is life seed. So a mustard seed is better than a grain of sand. But while small, it's still capable of achieving the impossible. So I want to just help you today to let you know that your faith this morning has the capability of achieving the impossibility. We really need to get back to growing our faith. Faith begins when we act on what we believe. Let me say that again. When we act on what we believe. You might want to write this down. Gathering seed may be more pleasant and exciting, but scattering it is more profitable and wise. Would you read that with me? Gathering seeds may be more pleasant and exciting, but scattering it is more profitable and wise. Why is that? Because gathering the seed and eating the seed might feel good. However, the problem is, if you don't scatter the seed, that which you have or what you possess currently will eventually be gone and you'll have no more. It is more profitable and wisdom to scatter your seed than to hold on to your seed. How many understand that to be true? The life is in the seed, but until the seed is released, until the seed is put into the soil, the greater than cannot appear. The greater than is in the process. Say that with me. The greater than is in the process. Remember Jesus said, the mustard seed will grow up and become greater than? The greater than is in the process. One more time, say it. The greater than is in the process. Meaning you have to release it, and it has to go into the soil, and it has to grow in order for the greater than to come forth. So even if you believe the seed has the potential, if you don't release it and put it in the ground, it's never going to reach the greater than level. So I want to talk just for a few minutes, 10 seed facts that will change your life. And I do wish and pray that you would write these down. Number one, my seed is anything I have that I can give to somebody else. My seed is anything I possess that I can release and give to someone else. So therefore, do not limit it to just money. My seed is anything that I possess. Perhaps I possess kindness, or I possess love, or I possess encouragement, or I possess strength to help in time of need. Whatever I possess is a seed that can be released into somebody else. If I don't see my life as seed potential and don't look strategically to release it, I will always be what I've always had. There will be no increase, because God has given us seed to be released. And until it is released, you might as well be holding sand in your hand. Because the life is in the seed. The greater than is in the seed. But until you release it, it cannot become greater than. That's why it's essential that you find a place of serving in the kingdom of God. Because your gifts and talents are to be given. The reason why they're to be given is because the economy of God is built around sowing and reaping. You cannot receive a harvest until you planted a seed. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, God said in Genesis chapter 8. Number two, your seed is the gift God gave you in order to create your future. You say, well, I thought God had all my future planned out for me. He did, and He put it in your hand. It's in a bag on the side of your belt. It's called seed. God has your future and my future planned out. But the future that you and I are to enjoy consists within the seed that God gave us. Let me give you an example. God gave David a seed. The David seed was a slingshot. He had an ability and a talent with a slingshot. Now, maybe you've heard the story about David and Goliath. But David didn't pick up Saul's slingshot and face Goliath. David pulled out his gift and sowed it into a circumstance. In other words, God gave David a seed and he used it to create his future. If you would have looked at David with a little slingshot in his hand, some bread and some cheese and some wine to come to bring to his brothers and find out what the report was, you thought, oh, just insignificant. He pops wolves in the head if they come and get the sheep. I mean, look at us. We're here. We're with these big spears. We've got these big shields. We're like really in military. We're the real deal. And David's just a little shepherd boy. However, David was able to take what God gave him as a gift and created his future. Some of us are sitting on our gifts. Your future will not look any different than what your present does unless you give your gift to God. Be encouraged no matter what your gift is. It may be insignificant to many. But the facts are, it creates your future. Number three, you may not have much in life, but you will never be a day in your life where you have nothing. I hear a lot of people say that. I'd tithe if I could, Pastor, but you know, we don't have any work right now. I'd give and I'd help with that, do this or that, but you know, right now things are tough. Well, I'm not going to deny things are tough. But the reason why things might be tough is because you don't understand the principle of the greater than that's in your seed. And until the seed is released and put in the ground, the greater than cannot come forth. It's always going to be what's on that little card. Insignificant, small, and unable to really achieve anything. Let me bring your attention to the widow at Zarephath. Remember that? How much did she have? Do you remember the story? She had nothing. Matter of fact, they had a couple of cakes they were going to bake. I think they had a little oil too, right? And what did she tell the prophet? She said, this is our last meal, we're going to cook it, and then we're going to what? We're going to die. In other words, this isn't even enough to sustain life. We're going through the motions, even though we're going to eat something, it will not make a difference, but we're going to do it anyway, and we're going to go ahead and die as soon as this meal's over. That's what she told the prophet. And what did he say? He said, you know what? Give me a cake first. Now, some of you would sit there and go, the audacity of that TV preacher. He's asking for something that woman don't even have. Read it with me. You may not have much in life, but there will never be a day in your life where you have nothing. Whatever you have, you want to sow. I've told people this, and I mean it. If all it is sacrificing a button off your shirt, then put it in the envelope by faith and give it to God. Now, don't give me your buttons when you have dollars in your wallet. I don't want your buttons. But you never, ever want to be in a position where you say, I have nothing. That's not true. You may not have much, but you'll always have something. If what you brought to church today was a can of soup that you brought and you had two cans at home for the week, and you brought one can to give in the offering so we would take it to Tom and Pam at the Love Center to be given to a hungry family this week. You say, well, what difference would that make? Let's ask the widow at Zarephath. What happened to her when she made the cake and gave it to the prophet? What happened to her? Huh? Did she get increase? Yes. Absolutely. It was supernatural. But the greater than was in the content of her seed. But until she released it and recognized that what I have is significant, regardless of its size, say that with me, regardless of its, say it again, regardless of its. Now, what did Jesus say about size? It means little. He said that if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you'll be able to do the impossible. And I don't know where it is we think that if we can't give $100, what difference would 75 cents make? Well, it may not make a lot of difference to the overall church economy, but it will mean the difference between life and death for you. I would much rather, as a pastor, see your giving record at 75 cents every Sunday for 1 year than $125 for the entire year given sporadically. That 75 cents a week, to me, is taking what you have and knowing that it is something huge in the eyes of God. Let me remind you of the woman with the two mites. Two mites. Insignificant. Couldn't even buy a sparrow. And she threw it in when Jesus was standing at the offering, watching everybody give. And people were coming in with great ceremony, dropping in big bags of gold. And this woman came in with two mites, puts it in the offering. And Jesus said, that woman has given more than everybody here today. Why? Because he looks at sacrifice. He looks at sacrifice. Let's look at the next one. Something you already possess is the key to unlock your future. Something you already possess is the key to unlock your future. Now, what did Jesus say when he created us? After God created man, what did he tell man? To be what? And to what? Now, why would God say that to man with no money in his pocket? No credit cards, no bank account, no 401ks, no investment portfolio. Why would he say be fruitful and multiply when Adam was standing there with nothing? How can I be fruitful and multiply when I don't have anything? Here's the mystery. You already possess the key to unlock your future, and it's the built-in DNA of fruitfulness. You possess the ability to be fruitful and to multiply by the fact that you were created in the image of God. Isn't that powerful? That hasn't diminished and that hasn't gone away. You and I still possess the ability to be fruitful and to multiply. The next one. If you keep what you presently have, read the rest of it with me. That is the most it will ever be. Now, I know some people are a bit gun shy because Wall Street, investors, real estate, all have promised that if you invest in it, it will give you a return. And we've seen in the last 3 years the opposite. It's interesting that God's Word says, when you sow, you will reap. And yet we have defined the kingdom of God by the world's economy. Well, some of us. If you keep what you presently have, that's the most it'll ever be. Let's go back to the woman, the widow at Zarephath. If she would have kept the cake, how much cake would she have had? Come on, talk to me. That's it. How much oil would she have had? That's it. But if she released it, it opened up the nothing is impossible to you. And how much did she have after she released what she did have? More than enough. If you keep what you presently have, it's the most it will ever be. Some people always come and they'll say, you know what, I heard that church is, you know, celebrating God's love, celebrating one another. Love, the acronym, you know, loving God, one another, volunteering in the kingdom, evangelizing the world. You know, love, love, love. But nobody loves there. They didn't love me. I wasn't received. I felt pushed away. Okay. See, you're trying to get a harvest of something you haven't sown. You go looking from church to church for this love, but you've never released love to anyone else. So you keep what you presently have, and you never experience any more. As a matter of fact, you become more embittered, and you actually go away with less than what you came. You are diminishing in what God's given because you haven't released it. Number six, every seed contains an invisible blueprint. Are you aware of that? Apple seeds contain a blueprint of apple trees and apples. When you look at an apple seed, it doesn't look like an apple tree. How about a watermelon? A watermelon seed doesn't look like a watermelon. But yet inside the watermelon seed is a blueprint to produce watermelons. Did you know that God has designed your seed strategically in alignment with your need? My seed has a blueprint in it. And when I release it, it will produce for me that which I cannot even envision looking at the seed. I have no consciousness about what this is going to look like. If I've never been introduced to the watermelon, all I know is I've got this little teardrop black seed in my hand going, I have no idea what this is. But I know there's got to be something inside of it. And if I release it and put it in the soil, I'm going to discover what it is. If you're hungry enough, you'll plant it. So we see then, every seed contains an invisible blueprint. Listen to this. It follows the instruction within the seed. Regardless of what everybody else calls it. I'll put my seed in the ground and say watermelons are coming up. You could tell me it'll never grow. You could tell me it's not going to be a watermelon. You could tell me that it's going to be corn. You can say whatever you want to say, but I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot talk what's in the seed out of becoming what God had blueprinted it to become. You follow me? So, ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to have confidence in our seed to know that God put the DNA in it to produce what we have need of in our future. And you may not even know what it looks like. But if you don't release it, you're never going to experience it. Number seven. Say this with me. My seed
is my exit strategy
from my present trouble. My seed is my exit strategy. You know, managers will tell you, you should never conduct business without an exit strategy. As a matter of fact, in life, relationships, involvement, you should always be thinking when you get into something, how you're going to get out of it. Because what you're in today does not necessarily mean you're going to be in for the rest of your life. How many know that? But have you ever been in a relationship that you can't get out of? Have you ever been involved in something that they won't stop calling you for? A seed is an exit strategy for the present trouble that you're in. If I'm in trouble financially, or if I'm in trouble relationally, if I'm in trouble emotionally, I'm going to recognize that I've possessed something in my life, whether it's a slingshot, whether it's oil, whether it's love, no matter what it is, that if I release it, it is going to produce for me my way out. Seed is your exit strategy from your trouble. That's why some people are always in trouble. They live life in trouble. They don't know life any other way but in trouble. Trouble follows them. Trouble lives with them. They live in trouble. And they don't know how to get out of it. They call it a curse of the generations. They blame it on the devil. They blame it on God. They blame it on their parents. They blame it on the fact that they don't have the right education. Whatever, you know, their ethnicity. I don't know, whatever. They blame it on something other than the fact that they've never released a seed to produce an exit strategy from where they are. I could give you a lot of illustrations and don't have the time. Let me continue. A seed of nothing. Well, we need to read this one together. Are you ready on this one? Say it. A seed of nothing guarantees a season of nothing. Selah. Selah in the Psalms means stop, think about it, meditate. Say it with me again. Ready? Read. A seed of nothing guarantees a season of nothing. Number 9. To increase the size and quantity of your seed is to increase the size and quantity of your harvest. It's a very simple principle. You plant one seed, you get one plant. If you plant two seeds, you get two plants. What's unique about seeds is they produce multiple harvests out of one seed. So a wise person who understands the multiplicity of the DNA of our creation recognizes that when I plant a seed, I'm going to get a multiple harvest. So you're always looking to plant multiple seeds so you can have an abundant harvest, because you understand the law of sowing and reaping. And lastly, number 10. When God talks to you about a seed, He has a harvest in His mind. This is where we struggle, especially in the area of money seeds. When God's speaking, give toward this project in the church. And you're thinking, well, you know, I don't know. I don't, you know. Boy, Holy Spirit comes back again. You need to give this amount. You're going, no, that was the devil. I am not. That is way too much money. I'm not doing that. Pastor's asking for $1,000 gifts from 100 people. There's no way. We've never given that much money. That's crazy. You think, well, I don't know. Maybe I... Nah, forget it. You dismiss it. When God talks to you about a seed, He has a harvest on His mind. The harvest that He has on his mind may require 1,000 worth of seed. So you may have to take the next remaining months of this year And where you haven't been involved on Thursday nights in the Royal Rangers program, you need to get involved and sow your time for the rest of the year, every Thursday night faithfully, because God has a harvest on His mind. But you see, here's what happens. I can get up here and talk about the power of a Royal Rangers program and investing in young men. I could talk about the brides and the power of investing in young women. I could talk about the anointing that's on the nursery and the prophetic release in your life. And I can recruit 100 people here today, because you'll hear God speak to you that you should do it. But here's the problem. As soon as that seed thought is planted in your mind, because God has a harvest of great abundance for you, the enemy will come in and say, that's too much. You can't do that. Don't forget you bowl on Thursdays. Whatever. I mean, I don't know. Read this with me. When God talks to you about a seed, He has a harvest on His mind. And we fail to follow through. This has been the problem in the local church since I've been saved. Ooh, long time now. I can get people to sign up, but I can't get them to show up. I can recruit right now, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, at least 100 people to do just about anything in this church. I'm confident of that. I've done it. That's why the departments are always asking me, Pastor, you need to ask for volunteers. Pastor, you need to do this. Pastor, you need to do that. I think, well, I could do that, but you know what? I can get them to sign up. We've got lists as long as my leg around here. And when we call them, they're like, oh, well, things have changed. And, you know, the dog and it's not, you know, and my daughter, maybe in the fall. We're going to be busy. I mean, we got like baseball, and we've got, we just got stuff. And we say, okay, God bless you. We hang up. And the list dwindles from 100 down to about 2 or 3. So my question today is, how much of a harvest are you looking for? In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to ask you to do something. As a congregation, I'm going to ask you to replace the entirety of the carpet in this auditorium. How many know that's a lot of carpet? Say, well, why would you do that? Looks fine to me. I'll take you on a tour. But you see, that opportunity will be significant for some of us, because God has a harvest on His mind, and until we employ ourselves in the release of the seed, it will always remain. You'll never get to the greater than. Now let me close with this. Matthew chapter 4, verses 26 says this. The kingdom of God is this, of a man should scatter seed on the ground. That's your first step. Everybody say, my first step is to sow seed in the ground. Now let me say this. I, with full and complete and total confidence, can tell you, your church is a good ground ministry. I can tell you that with full of confidence and assurance. Total. I have no hesitation. I have nothing to hide. Our ministry is an open book financially, has been for years, and you can know that. Secondly, he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know. Your second step, say, my second step. Our second step is to rely or rest in the blueprint of the seed. So now what do I need to do? I got to find good ground. Your good ground, the best ground you could possibly have is your local church. And some of you have been convinced, and while we need to give to other ministries, you know, you give to these national groups and you have nothing left for your own farm. I mean, really. You say, oh, it's just my local church. I mean, I want to be blessed by so-and-so, and I want that holy water, and say my third step, verse 28, for the earth, I'm losing some. That was kind of weak. The earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. In other words, know the earth was made for seed. The ground is made for seed. Your local church has been made to receive your seed. It's full of nutrients. You can't lose serving in the house of God. You can't. You just can't. It was made to produce. It's rich in nutrients. So you can be assured that it's going to bring increase. And then say, my last step. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. In other words, he separates the harvest from the earth. And the earth's ground, our purpose, is to produce for the harvester. Did you know that's why we're here as a church? We're here as a local church to produce a harvest for you. That's why I'm here. That's why this building is here. It is to produce a harvest for you, so that you might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might increase more and more in the love of God, that you may learn how to be well physically, that you may experience the financial prosperity of God. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That's why we're here. So we've got this rich soil and people holding back their seed. It will never be more than what you currently have if you refuse to release it. Amen? Now, I'm going to close with this. Tithe and offering is essential. Absolutely the basic in this whole principle. And you want to learn today to sow and release your tithe and offering into the house of God. Secondly, this week, find a place to serve in this ministry. We've got needs on Thursday night for Royal Rangers and Brides. We've got needs for nursery. We've got needs for ushers. We've got needs for worship leaders and musicians. It goes on and on and on. We've got needs for practical things like painting on the exterior of the building, raking, pulling weeds. I mean, you name it. You can do just about anything. And if God's speaking to you today, it's because he has a harvest on his mind. Isn't that powerful? I think that's powerful. Right now, I'd like for you to bow your heads, and Pastor Troy is going to come and close his service. I'm going to receive our tithe and offering on the way out, but I want you to know that we're here to bring increase in your life. God bless you. Mr. Troy.
One more time for that hair. He called me on, I think it was Friday. He's getting ready to go get his hair cut. He said, I just don't know what to do. I said, what do you mean? What should I do? I'm like, Dad, really, you're talking to a guy that one day has hair, next day doesn't. So you're asking the wrong fella. I mean, tomorrow I could wake up and be like, all right, just take it all off. And then he stopped by the house late that night on his way back from Beechwood. And he came in and I was like, I'll buy you a Corvette. What are you going through here, man? Like a midlife crisis or something? You're a little late. What's going on? You know his birthday is coming up, right? We want to bless him, yo. He could do that this week or next week, but he wouldn't want me to tell you this, but if you want to give him a little something, you could do so. You put in a card, put in an envelope or something and mark the card there. I think he'll be, what, does anybody know what he'll be? 59? 59. Some cool hair to go with it. I feel like preaching. You guys want to stay for another service? How many want to go home? No, I'm just kidding. I do want to preach, though. I feel like preaching. I loved what he said. He said, hunger will eventually convince you to plant your seed. Hunger will eventually. You get desperate enough, you'll take what you have and you'll plant it. I mean, you get to the point where you're desperate. I pray a prayer over my children every day. My seed. I pray a prayer over them that they will produce what's in their DNA. I pray that. I said, I call forth what's in their DNA. And I know what's in their DNA shall be greater than what's in my DNA. So I call forth what's in Tristan and Caleb and Jeremiah and Precious. I call forth what I put in that seed. Woo! I feel like preaching. You know, as I was going through there, many times the Lord will speak to me. And I just feel it's real important today to let you know that As Pastor was preaching, God revealed to me that there's some Jonahs in the house. And this message spoke to you personally because it spoke of the gift that God had put in you. And Jonah was like that. God had given him a gift. He was an orator. He was God's man. And Jonah decided that he was going to take off from the place where he perceived that God was. And he was going to rent a boat and take himself to where the place where he perceived that God wasn't. So he paid for the boat, got on the boat. I don't know what boat you're on, Jonah. I don't know what you were thinking, Jonah. And you know who you are, Jonah. But you paid a fare. You've went there on purpose. You've put yourself in this situation to get away and run from the call of God that's upon your life. And I want you to know, Jonah, the place where you thought God wasn't is the very place where God is. And there's absolutely no place where he's not where you're headed, Jonah. So you might as well just go ahead and get off the ship. Because the story goes to say that they threw Jonah, the people that did not know God, threw the guy that did know God into the water. And then the great big fish, you don't have to believe the story, but providentially it speaks a really cool truth. The guys that they said didn't know him took the guy that did know him and threw him in the water and said, there. And then Jonah said, uh-oh. Okay, God, I'm on my way back. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then that big fish or that whatever you want to say, it vomited him up on land. And he went back and did what God told him to do. And so, God, we pray for those today that are running like Jonah from your will. I pray for him. He'll come back. But that fish, that thing in life will throw him up. It will catch you wherever you are. Throw you back up. Vomit you back into your purpose. I feel like preaching. I was getting ready to leave yesterday and had to go do some things, and I walked into my little girl's room. You know, little girls can be mean. This is my little girl. She's daddy's little girl. I walked in there. I said, baby, give daddy a kiss. I got to go. She would not give me a kiss. She hid from me. She buried her face and she said no. I'm like, what? Give me a kiss. I gotta go. She said no. I was kind of irritated by that. I was kind of like, so she withheld her affection from me. And so I said, okay, fooey on you. I kissed mommy. And I, many times when I kiss mommy, it will provoke her jealousy. See, daddies, when you got little girls, you, if you kiss mommy, you'll get kisses from the little girl. So I started kissing mommy. She still didn't bite. So I left and I went away and I came back later. The same little girl wanted daddy to stay home with her so mommy could go and do some things because she didn't want to go. And so she says, daddy, we're sitting there and she's watching SpongeBob or something. SpongeBob is cool. And so she says, daddy, can you do me a favor, daddy? Can you go get me a little bag of Cheerios, the Honey Nut Cheerios, and put them in a bag, dry. I don't want any milk on them. And then bring them back to me. There you go, baby. And I said, I said, sure, daddy can do that. But I think it's time we enter into a contractual relationship together. And she's smart. She looked back at me. She said, I'm not signing anything, daddy. So I ran. She did, my little girl did. So I'm walking around the house, and I'm looking for construction paper. And she's a big crafts girl. And so she knows where the paper is, Caesar. She knows where it's at. But she won't tell me. I keep saying, where's the paper, Precious? Where is the paper? She said, I'm not telling. So I just go over and I find some paper and I begin to enter a contract. I start putting a contract together. It was impressive. You would have been impressed. I said, the words were something like, I promise from this day forward that I will never withhold affection in the form of kisses, hugs, sitting on laps, whisper kisses, Eskimo kisses. Whew. Whisper kisses, Eskimo kisses. Butterfly kisses. Affection in any form. Even when I'm married and I don't live at home from my daddy from this day forward. And then I put the date on it and I put witnesses on it. And I signed it. I put it down on the table. And I said, you want your Cheerios? Daddy wants his affection. What are you going to do? Let me tell you what she did. She took that contract and she ripped it up. And I mean to tell you, it broke my heart. So I went and made another one, just like God. I put another one together. It says that Moses came down from the mountain, and he saw the people he loved, that God loved, and he broke the commandments that were written on the stones, and he went back up again, and God gave him some new ones. And then he sent his son to seal the deal, to ratify the agreement. He loves you that much, just like me. He's put an agreement together for you, and maybe you don't know him, but maybe you've felt him here today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you, will you sign the contract this morning? It's a love contract from heaven. It's sealed in his blood. He died for you. If you're far, far away from him, if you've run away from him, Jonah, if you've been rebellious, he's calling you back now. And he says, look, I put this deal together. all you have to do is just kind of sign your name on the line. And the way you sign your name on the line is with your heart this morning. The way you do it is you say, God, I'm sorry. I want to serve you and I want to love you and I want to sit on your lap and I want to give you Eskimo kisses and whisper kisses and butterfly kisses forever. And even when I find myself far, far away from you, God, even when I find myself far away in the arms of another lover, I'll come running back to you because of this contract that you laid down with the life of your son. I want to do that this morning. So nobody looking, this is a precious moment that's just between God and his children. And we ask the Holy Spirit to search the room of hearts that are wayward from the Father. And if that's you, just lift your head towards heaven this morning. Just lift your head and say, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Just whisper. If you don't know what a whisper kiss is, it's a whisper. It's you whisper into your daddy's ear. You just say, I love you, daddy. I love you, daddy. I love you, daddy. That's a whisper kiss. Just begin to give him whisper kisses this morning. Jesus, we bless you. We thank you that your children are returning to you. Those that have run, those that are far away are coming back. Those that are cold, their hearts are warm again. They're recommitting their life this morning. We bless you. We thank you that you make the sick well in this room. That you're a healing God, that you're a resurrected Savior, not a dead one. So if we're in need of healing in our physical body, we can lift our eyes to you this morning and know that you'll heal our body. Thank you, Jesus, for providing for us in such a way. We bless you and thank you. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet, church, this morning as our altar ministers make their way forward. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I want to invite you to come forward. If you need prayer in your physical body this morning, I want to invite you to come forward. Let me tell you how the story ends with Precious. Later on, back on the farm, Precious is preparing to go to a birthday party. And she knows there's something not right between me and her. And so she comes in and she gives me a halfway, I'm sorry, Daddy. And then I said, it's okay. That's all right. You know, I kind of give her the cold shoulder. She walks away. And she walks in and she falls in the arms of Rebecca. And she's just bawling. And then Becca comes in like the Holy Spirit. She says, Troy, come in here. And I go in there. She said, I'm so sorry, Daddy. I love you. She jumps in my arms. And all is well. Sometimes you just got to say, I'm sorry, Daddy, with your whole heart. Jump back in his arms. I invite you to do that this morning. Hey, Thursday night, we're going to talk about the DNA of God, the inheritance. What's inside of you is the same thing that was inside of Abraham. I'm going to prove it to you on Thursday night. Don't miss it. It's going to be powerful. If you need prayer this morning, come forward. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. The offering and the tithe will be received on the way out.